Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Anecdotes from an Apathetic, the monthly podcast depicting the fictional prose of Michael Miller. Enjoy.
Being blindfolded in a park is odd for many reasons. Well, perhaps just one. The loss of sight. I'm beginning to fear for my safety because I know there may be some disconcerted passersby looking for a scheme or looking to vent their frustrations. I clutch my brown leather satchel close to my left hip, but my hand stops and retracts from the bag. My left hand holds a mangled apple and is saturated in stick. I would love to dispose of this apple core, but I can't see the rubbish bin. My hand lets the apple drop to the ground, and against the thud of the apple core, you can hear the smacking of my lips against my fingers. I was instructed to wear the blindfold by my partner. She wanted to surprise me at the park we always visit. The only thing that struck me as odd was that she asked me to blindfold myself as soon as I got to our bench, and not after she arrived, as we usually do, to freak out the usuals. Her idea. Once, we were photographed and interviewed by a journalist. We made front cover of the society issue in The Guardian. The label for the article was called Love is Blind or Blind Leading the Blind, some straightforward idiom. She framed the article and hung it on our wall when we moved into our new flat. She's kooky. She juggles, spits fire, practices yoga, and does other flexible things with her body. She has high volumes of energy constantly, and because of this, I sometimes suspect her of being a robot. It doesn't help my suspicions that she never goes to sleep before I do. It's as if she never turns off. Despite these paranoid postulations, we have quite frequently discussed leaving London and going to live somewhere destitute. Destitute because despite her energy and her enrollment at a local circus school, this is how I feel. I am unemployed and am becoming bored. My new lack of structure has seemed to erase everything in my brain that I've learned up to this point, and everything which I imagined would become a hireable amalgamation for some unknown field or market. I'm unsure. I'm simply waiting for work. However, I can't afford to wait. My uncle graciously funded a savings account in my name during my high school years. Another thing we have been discussing quite frequently is that we should go to the gambling house near Leicester Square and double my savings. She is good with gambling. I know this to be true because night after night we play poker and she robs me of all my chips. Her face freezes up during the poker game. Her neck and head become rigidly fixed in one position, and she doesn't utter a word. If you even speak, she shows no sign of recognition. Before coming to the park, I emptied out my entire savings account on her request. I guess she and I are looking forward to a gambling adventure. The noise, reaching from the crowded streets of London, plants itself in my mind, and it feels as if I'm sitting on a bench in the midst of a polluted sidewalk. I imagine you can hear a war from the far end of the neighboring countries. Occasionally, my imagination is more myself than I am myself. For example, she's not a robot. I know because of what we do in bed before I go to sleep. No robot could take a pounding like that. I was looking through an opening between the cloth and my face, and all I could see were wingtips passing by. The pedestrian rush hour traffic was flooding into the park. One pair of wingtips came so close to my boots that they were practically kissing, or worse, being conspiratorial. Then I heard a bird, and the wingtips scurried away into its sea of clones. I could feel the bird's claws clinging against the black metallic bench beside my left arm. I felt as if the bird was inching closer and closer towards me. I couldn't tell. And before I could make up my mind, the bird flew away. Being blindfolded was no longer part of a game I wanted to play. I reached behind my head to take off the blindfold, but then I realized this is what I'm supposed to feel. Fear. I asked myself, is this what she wanted? Is this part of the game? I didn't want to appear weak. Just then, church bells rang, and I knew it was 5 o'clock. Time for her to arrive. I began to smile, and the fear was no longer present as I prepared for an embrace. I took a big inhale through the nose to smell her. She always smelled like peaches and sweet basil. It was as if she had an internal spray gun that would spray her whenever the scent was gone. The jury is still out on her being a robot. My nose searched and searched, but I could not smell her. Instead, the faint smell of manure had entered my nose, and I wiggled and coughed to rid myself of the smell. On my head's way up to recline the body, I began to shiver. It's colder when you have no sight. I bundled myself in my pea coat and spontaneously yelled out her name. No response. My body began to fill with a second sense of euphoria. I see the image of her in my mind practicing trapeze, and I begin to suspect that she is still here, and this is part of the game. I sit up, erect. Listen. Nothing. Just the patter of many winged things. I went to place my dry hand on my bag when I noticed it was no longer there. My bag, not my hand. Instead, my hand was clutching at an extremely dry rock. I removed the blindfold with my wet hand. I had to risk the game at this point. And sure enough, my satchel was gone. And all that remained was a sheet of paper underneath a rock. The sheet of paper had something written on it. It was her handwriting. The note said, "Wasn't that fun?" and nothing else. I looked around. She was nowhere. The park was nearly vacant. She couldn't have gone far. I had only been there for 30 minutes, and she was supposed to have circus class up till an hour ago. I called 999 and asked them to bring some coppers to our house, where she might be, and arrest her thieving ass. I hung up. Then I began to suspect that she probably went straight to the airport, back to her home in Japan or to Mexico, somewhere thieves hide. I decided to leave the park and run straight for the flat. The game was over. I rushed out of the park at the speed of a marathon runner. I was so fast that I crushed some very lazy pigeons on my way out. I zigzagged past tourists to the nearest bus stop, and when I made it, I waited. I waited for the bus along with all the other black coats underneath the bleak daytime sky. After a 20-minute bus journey, I was at the flat. The house was empty. She was gone. No note. All that remained was the framed picture from the newspaper article. I examined the picture of our blindfolded selves for clues, but all I could see was myself sitting blindfolded. The picture looked stupid. I collapsed onto the bed, sheets and duvet still in place, and relaxed. I couldn't be bothered to be anxious. Not when there's a bed. Not when the police are going to solve everything. I waited for the authorities to ask questions and to find my partner. My ex-partner, whom now I was convinced couldn't have been a robot.
And that's it for episode 2 of Anecdotes from an Apathetic. I'm Sharmi Elberton. Join us next time for episode 3 of Anecdotes from an Apathetic.